find ourselves in Lewistown today. There's a lot of issues to talk about. Ross Butcher is going to join us, County Commissioner. Ryan Peterson a bit later on. Fergus County Sheriff Brad Yeager, the Fair Board Chair. Yes, we are.
Oh, there he goes.
We are at the Central Montana Fair here today. In between four of the farmer gigs, we were in Great Falls yesterday and Conrad tomorrow. But I'm so happy to be here in Lewistown, Montana, and with our friends from KXLO. And we are getting rolling here today with our live broadcast here on the road. I call it 406-ing, and that's what we're doing today to the Central Montana Fair on Voices of Montana. And we are right now in Central Montana at the Central Montana Fair at the fairgrounds here, Fergus County Fairgrounds, and one of our good friends, Heidi Weber, joins us from KXLO. Good morning, Heidi. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. It's great to be here. We'll be here all day.
I know. And that's what you do at the fair.
Yep. Yeah. It's a blast.
Thanks for coming on. As I mentioned a bit later on, Sheriff will be alongside. You've got some 4-H kids.
Yeah, I do. I'm not sure who's showing up, but I got some 4-H kiddos coming.
Aren't they always fun?
Oh, they're a blast. Yeah. You never know quite what's going to happen.
And that's probably you've been warning me about this, our guest here as well. Same sort of thing. You never know what's going to happen. It's Commissioner Ross Butcher. Good morning, Ross. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Hey, you know, and I just on that same note, you'd said we just kind of wing it out here and have a good conversation. And I'm sure Brad Yeager appreciates being promoted from Fair Board Chair to the Sheriff.
Oh, did I say? Oh.
Yeah, but Ryan Peterson's a good guy. He shares it. He's fine. But Sheriff Ryan Peterson and Brad Yeager is our board chair of the Fair Board.
But he's a sheriff around here, right?
Well, around here, Brad runs things. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Ryan's standing by as well.
He put his gun away. So
I don't think he's finding this as funny as we do here. But yeah.
No, he's got a pretty good sense of humor.
Well, that's good. That's good to know. Ross, thanks again for coming on here, too. There's a couple of things on my mind. I think the statewide audience needs to understand. We've heard about this Sentinel missile project, right, that we're going to replace the Minuteman III missiles. And, of course, if you're in Central Montana, anywhere around here, you've seen the silos. And there's a number of them. The information all came out. This is going to be a 10-year deal, and you got to have housing and all this. And then it kind of went quiet for a little while. And then I note a report in April that they've kind of kick-started this again. So talk about that program, from your perspective and the people in this whole entire area for Central Montana.
Yeah, you bet. You know, Fergus County is the largest missile county, I think, in the nation. We have over 50 missiles in our county. Definitely in the state of Montana, in this missile field, we are loaded with missiles, and we appreciate them. You know, as a county commissioner, the things we like are good roads, and when Department of Defense helps pay for those roads, it's a good thing, and so a lot of people appreciate that. And you're right, there's a lot of hoopla. It's been going on for a while. It's hard to keep the enthusiasm and energy up. But they said at the start, you know, it's kind of a hurry up and wait. They're going to come out and start with the impact studies and that sort of thing, and they've done that. There's always delays in a project of this. I shouldn't say delays. There's always a process in this. Anytime you're developing something of that magnitude, it's absolutely massive. But they've already started building. There's a control center that's been built on Malmstrom. You know, a lot of people don't even realize that it's already there. The process is in hand. But you know, it really is it's building the airplane in the air kind of thing. You know, where it's so big, they have to figure it out as they go. There's a lot of people involved in it. And it's definitely coming. I don't have any, you know, doubts about that. I will say that, Commissioner Briggs up in Cascade County took it upon himself to put in for a grant that provides a liaison with local government and the Department of Defense. It's a direct link for local governments and all the affected missile counties. We met with that individual. He's met with all the counties. Good guy, lots of credentials, been in the military, been in government, understands the process, and he's looking out for the local folks. That's what they wanted, somebody that would have a voice inside Department of Defense, Department of War, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
and
right.
We feel comfortable with that.
Good.
But it's definitely a big impact, and all those things they talked about on the front end are still an issue, like where exactly are they going to put the folks that are going to work on it? What's that going to look like? They're refining it more, but we still don't have a definitive, hey, we're gonna put in a housing set up in this community or that community. What does it look like? The field has definitely expanded and changed. The plan now is to open up the closed field, 568, I think it's up there by Conrad. So there's going to be additional sites opened up there. They're decommissioning a few sites throughout the entire field that were issues. But all that is a process of determining, you know, where they're going to put them, when they're going to put them there. And so, you know, we're still a little bit in the dark. We don't get all the front end news. You know, it is national defense. So, you know, There's only so much they're going to tell you.
Well, and that's it. It's tough from your perspective as a county commissioner, to not have all the information as you look at this plan going forward as well. How much of an impact? I mean, obviously there's going to be a big impact, that would be things that are concerning to you, right? The housing issue, I suppose. Security is going to be another issue there. What's on your plate to make sure that runs smooth for Fergus County and your constituents?
You know, one of the big ones is infrastructure. They're going to be using our roads. And they're also, developing new easements across property, and there's going to be some disturbances. So, you know, some of the big things we talk about that really are concerning of the folks on the ground are weed management, right? What are they going to do about weeds? You start disrupting soils out in people's fields, what does that look like? And so we've spent a lot of time on the front end talking about what that looks like in the immediate future, as well as down the road. What's going to be the responsibility between us and the military in that? And then, you know, just making sure that our bridges and are up to the load. You know, it does look like these transports are going to be larger than what the last ones were, which means we may have a bunch of new bridges, even ones that we've recently put in. They have to make sure that they meet that weight limit. And so all that's going on in the background. There's been a lot of time with engineers determining what does that look like. And we just want to make sure that there isn't a huge disruption in our day-to-day life. And what does it look like? I think they've been pretty good about talking to us and including the folks on the ground here in the counties to give some input. How do we do this so that it isn't a disaster? And I think it's going pretty well. I feel like they're not going to just walk all over us. I think, you know, there's a little bit of that when you have something, a project as large as this with the military, we have to be diligent and make sure that we're out in the front demanding that we get, briefed on the process as it goes. And so far, I would say that both the contractors and the military itself has been pretty good about it within the realm of national security and, you know, projects that they're kind of top secret in a lot of ways.
Yeah, that's good to hear, too, because they can be heavy-handed at times. I mean, it's the federal government, and they use their authority as much as possible. Ross Butcher is with us here, Fergus County Commissioner. We're live at the Central Montana Fair here, courtesy of KXLO as well, Heidi Weber. Heidi, as a news reporter at KXLO, how are you getting this information out? I mean, how important is it to you? Are they in contact with you as they are as much with Ross Butcher?
To a point. I mean, I do have contacts and I haven't got an email lately, but it's been a while since they've sent some in. They had a town hall meeting, a couple months ago?
Yeah.
Yes.
This spring earlier, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably flying faster. But yeah, they're pretty good about getting us, you know, information, and Ross has the inside track to a point. So
I think what's really tough about it is that, you know, a lot of times there isn't a lot of new information. And so, you know, you don't want to overload with regurgitating the same thing that you said 6 months ago, because a lot of times they don't really have a lot more to add. But I do think that, you know, some of the discussion about the new field and some of what that looks like was information that's good to know. But like I said, it's really a matter of us trying to be in the line of communication. And as soon as we know something, we try to pass that along and make sure that, you know, things move smoothly in the next 10 to 15 years that we'll be dealing with this.
It's a long time, so there can be, the process can change and be frustrating at times. Let's move a little bit to the grizzly bears, because we know research has shown that they're expanding their range. There's been some incidents in this area as well. The Interior Department has looked at a new plan for that that's going to move towards state management. What's your perspective on that as a county commissioner again, who's concerned about how this impacts your constituents?
Yeah, we definitely see the grizzly bears moving east. We have resident grizzly bears now in Fergus County, and that's new. I mean, that 10 years ago, we didn't have that.
They're resident, as you
They're
said.
They're resident,
yes.
Yep. We just recently had a rancher. Her horse was, you know, tore up, and it was pretty tough, just about 10 miles from town. They have, I understand, pictures of the grizzly that was around. Uh-huh. There's some dispute of whether that was a grizzly bear attack or hit by a car. However, the folks that own the horse said, no, they were a mile from the road. I don't think that was a car. So, you know, it's the typical process where, you know, they don't want to start blaming the bear because they're concerned about backlash. And yet I think we're kind of past that. We have a lot of issues in Montana with grizzlies. And the real problem comes down to misuse of authorities passed in the legislature when dealing with things like endangered species. Grizzly bears are far from near extinction. The listing is ridiculous, just like the wolves. They're long past that as an issue. I went back to D.C. here about a year ago with a contingent from the Montana Natural Resource Coalition of Counties, local government guys. We took back a report asking the president had requested that individuals point out issues with agencies that are outside their bounds of authority. We had a list of rules that needed to be addressed. One of them was the listing in the lower 48 states, a discussion about the entire process of developing distinct population segments. That's the game that's played in Endangered Species Act, where they just start drawing circles in new areas and saying, hey, there's not enough of whatever this critter is out here, so we're going to start managing for it. Never was the authority of the Endangered Species Act. It was to prevent extinction, not to repopulate. And so they've gone way past their authorities. That needs to be overrun. I think moving the management to the state has some value to it. The problem is they're still listed. And so you're still bound. The state has to manage them as an endangered species. There's nothing endangered about the grizzly bear. Anybody that says that's lying or ignorant.
And here's kind of the rub, too, is that as stewards on the land, farmers and landowners, they want to be part of this collaborative effort. They need to be. They have to be. It doesn't work without them. But if they keep seeing the goalposts being moved back, they're probably going to get out of the game. So it's very concerning in that regard.
Yeah, the grizzly plan that came out, two years ago, year and a half ago, something like that, they had a new region of management that reaches almost to the North Dakota border. And that's never been, but we're managing grizzlies to that extent now because they're moving there. I don't know that they're being transported. There's a lot of discussion about are they being relocated out east. I don't think so. There's so darn many grizzly bears that they're being pushed out of their current range, and that's what you're seeing. And we just need to open it up so people can protect themselves, their livestock, and not have a fear of going to prison because they're trying to protect what's theirs.
Yeah.
And the people that love to hug grizzly bears should go find one and hug them.
Yeah.
You see how that works for him?
I said, yeah, like, wait a minute. Then I thought about that. Wait a minute. Maybe you should not do that. But, I mean, that's the point that you're making, too, is that we live here. They're impacting us, and they're impacting our safety.
And the livelihood. Yeah. That's the thing with the ranchers. It's the livelihood.
Yeah. My wife grew up on a little ranch right outside of Augusta. When she grew up, her and her little sisters played on the creek. You know, they'd splash and play all day long. The current people that live in their little ranch there, they do not go out at night, and they never walk down the creek during the day.
Wow.
Because the grizzlies are so thick. And, you know, that's a difference in 40 years.
Yeah.
And something needs to be done. Something can be done. We just have to have the political will to do it.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Ross, thank you for the time. You know, it feels like we could probably talk a little bit longer here.
Oh, I always could.
As well, yeah. I appreciate that. You got any good questions for your sheriff?
Why is he so good looking?
He's not even paying attention.
Yeah, he doesn't pay attention. I want to say, you know, we're very fortunate in Fergus County. We have a lot of really solid elected officials, and our sheriff is one of those. He's done a great job of developing a lot of projects regionally. We just had a meeting, with a tribal group that, wanted to discuss more about the interconnections of drug enforcement and so on, and the sheriff can fill you in on that, but he's been integral to that part. I want to say our DES director, Steve Fanning, is a rock star. He's been part of that. And so I just think Fergus County is well served with the folks that are in place at this time, and I appreciate all of them, including our sheriff.
And that feeling permeates. You can tell. It does. So thank you for that. You're part of that as well, Ross. Thank you.
Thank you.
406 and today to Lewistown, Central Montana Fair. Heidi Weber from KXLO and Rock 95, right?
Mm, yep. Yeah. It's been a great day.
Thanks for sharing your booth with us here today as well.
Oh, no worries.
Yeah, but the sheriff is keeping an eye on you. What's that all about?
I know. He always has my, I just ask him if I could just, go visit him jail for a few days. But no, he's like, I'm stuck working. I'm like, I'm great.
He needs you out here.
No vacation for you.
Darn it.
Ryan Peterson, the sheriff. Ryan, thanks for coming on. I appreciate
that.
Good
morning.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Let's talk. There's a couple of things on our plate here. Fair safety. Because you guys had, and it took a little while to get this project and this plan out as well. There were a couple of key things you wanted to address. Talk about those.
Yeah, absolutely. We get anywhere from 6,000 to 9,000 visitors to this Central Montana Fair. It seems to be growing a little bit. So obviously you get that amount of people in there, you got to look out for people's safety. So, making sure families, kids are safe, that's a high priority for us. And then one big thing we worry about is weather events. Last year we had some significant thunderstorms come through with some severe lightning, and we hadn't quite worked out our lightning plan. So that was some of the feedback we got from the public. We got the Midway shut down quickly, but, we sat down with DES afterwards and said, hey, we need to shore this up a little bit.
What was that process? And for other, county sheriffs listening around as well who are concerned about the same thing, do I have a good plan for evacuation? And what about, as Heidi, you were saying, child and parent safety?
You worry about, we deal with kids getting lost or their parents getting lost. The kids always know where they're at. But, our deputies get around, that we track people down. It's not a huge, huge area, but it does take us some time. But heaven forbid somebody brought a kid that home that they shouldn't have, that type of thing, that we keep that in the back of our minds. So we urge parents to take pictures of your kids when you go into the fair. If they get away, I can't remember what my kids are wearing for the day. So, when in the heat of the moment, when you're a little panicked, it's nice to be able to say, hey, this is what my kid's wearing.
Yeah.
And to hit the front gate. So kind of put that through. Steve Fanning with DES has done a great job with messaging. You can sign up for Central Montana Fair text messages, get emergency alerts. And then we have worked with the National Weather Service. They set us up as an incident, and then they let us know, brief us on the weather reports coming through.
You guys have to keep rolling, though. I mean, as far, I'm not sure if you got a real huge staff, but you have to dedicate some of them to the fair, but yet also, safety has to happen across the county.
Yeah, that's the thing, is you have thousands of people in one spot. We need to staff that. We have 13 full sworn guys, including myself. And so we have to staff this, but we still have 4,300 square miles that we have to go patrolling and enforce. So we have our one or two deputies on to cover the rest of the county. We put a couple on here at the fair. I've got a few reserve officers that come down. And then we've just worked really hard over the last few years with interagency partners. So we'll have probation, parole, they'll swing by. We have the CMR guys come down from the river. The Gayborns will stop by, higher patrol, Lewistown PD, they all chip in, and we just kind of make sure we get everything covered.
And I think there's a good thing about this, is that we don't, as fair participants, we don't think about that all that much. And I think that's because we trust you guys to do that, right?
Yep.
That's a big responsibility.
That's what I tell folks. There's a lot going on in the background that you don't need to worry about.
Yeah.
Our fire departments, EMS, we all talk regularly. We brief in the morning, we brief in the afternoon, what are our concerns. We have a few patients with some medical issues that we like to make sure we know where they're camped, so if we need to get an ambulance to them. So we kind of get to learn the incident and some of the players in it, and communicate really well, I feel.
Well, we even found out that we from the fair board perspective, we revamped the camping map because all the trailers look alike when you have to go see somebody. And we're like, that's just things that you learn as you go.
You wouldn't even think about that.
Yeah.
There's no addresses to go off of in a campground. So,
You're like
the white camper with the blue pickup. Well, there's 10 of those.
So that's what you learn a lot, from those things that we want to get them help as quickly as can. But like Ryan says, you're trying to white camper.
Yeah.
One thing that we were just chatting about too, and it It's unique in that there's a Missouri River Drug Task Force, and it's been established for quite some time, and they do a lot of good things here as well. Mm-hmm. But not every county can afford to be a part of that task force, and so you guys have come up with a sort of a different kind of plan.
Yeah, we Sheriff Corey Smith and I got together, and we reached out to the neighboring counties, you know, Wheatland, Phillips, Blaine County, Fort Belknap Police Department, Petroleum County, Duwith Basin County, reached out to them and said, hey, we all have the same problems, but we're all light on folk, you know, staff to handle those things and resources. So we meet annually and have a large drug intel meeting, and then every 3 months or so we'll do a multi-county interdiction night where we do increased patrols on major corridors, especially from Billings to Great Falls to the reservation, stuff like that. So each county works within theirs, and we all talk throughout the night.
How big is the problem?
It's needle in the haystack, of course, to try to catch things in transit. You know, we get a lot of information from Fort Belknap PD. They'll tell us of, you know, potential areas where people are stopping and handing off, you know, through our counties and stuff like that. So we try to tailor our patrols to that. But, you know, it's a needle in the haystack. So if we can go out there, we can make a few traffic stops for speeding and equipment, stuff like that. It lets people know we're out and about.
Do you get enough training? I mean, I suppose that's a big part of this as well, to try to find the right places to get the right training for this.
It is. It's tough. And then, you know, court decisions and laws are always changing, you know, so there's only so much we can do in certain circumstances, you know, probable cause changes, you know, reasons for stop and how long you can hold somebody there on that stop. So the drug interdiction game's changed quite a bit. You know, we always have to tailor towards, you know, making sure we're keeping people's rights in mind, but still, you know, being out there to enforce what we need to.
Well, and that's a key question as well. I mean, there's more on this drug enforcement here too, but as a law enforcement officer, you noted the dynamic has changed a little bit as well. How does that affect you? How does that impact your law and your safety?
Montana is an enhanced right to privacy, and we take that serious, and I'm proud that we have that. And so we have to make sure our investigations are shored up, they're done accurately, it can frustrate some of the public. You know, they go, hey, I've got all this. I know they're dealing drugs out of their house down the street. And said, well, here's the process. We can't just go kick the door in for no reason.
Yeah.
You know, so try to take time to explain the processes to the public so they can say, hey, you know, we're not ignoring this, but we can't just go violate these people's rights just to go see what's going on. So
yeah, and as a sheriff, that's like vital, because you can't waste your time
right.
on things. Yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep. The workload keeps going no matter what's going on. So all the fairs happen, and we still have the rest of the county to worry about. Our cases that are still ongoing, they all can't stop just for one event.
Yeah. And how do you manage that? I mean, because as a sheriff, you're going to look at the budget, you're going to look at personnel, you're going to look at other, you know, but you want to be a law enforcement guy. And
yeah.
You are.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And the big thing comes down to our partnerships with other agencies. Yeah. I mean, it's just nice to bring them in. They help us out. When we need help, we go help them. It wasn't a matter of fire, EMS. We all just jump in and get things done.
How close is Heidi Weber to spending a night in jail?
Oh, pretty close. Depends how much she heckles me at the fair.
Yeah.
I usually walk by her booth.
Gee, let me see about that.
She's like, hey, Ryan. So.
Well, and if I can, I'll twist that, too, so it happens.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. I got 30 seconds. Talk about your people.
Our staff?
Yeah.
Yeah, our staff's great. Like I said, 13 of us. We have detention officers. We have records clerks. And it's all hands on deck to get stuff done, even in, you know, a county with 13,000 mm-hmm. people or so. And then the summertime, most counties in Montana grow. You've got more population to deal with. Yep. So great staff. We put a lot of hours in, especially this week. We try to get some time off for our staff to get to some of the fair events, too, so they're not stuck working.
I salute you, sir.
Yeah.
I do. And,
yeah.
And everybody there as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Ryan Peterson again, Fergus County Sheriff. It's fair season, right? Oh, gosh. I don't know where you're at in your life, but whether you're young or old, you enjoy a fair, don't you? And I hope you get out here to the Central Montana Fair. We're 406 in today. KXLO in Lewistown, one of our grand affiliates, Heidi Weber, is with us as well. Good morning again, Heidi. Thanks for coming on. We're at the booth here, too. You got a spot.
I do.
Yeah, they're taking care of you a little bit.
They always do, yeah, pretty much. They do take care of me, and yeah.
Well, if you have an issue, there's a guy right next to me here I suppose you could talk to about. Brad Yeager joins us, as he's not the sheriff. He's the sheriff around here.
He is.
Fair board chair.
He's the fair board sheriff, let me tell you.
Okay, the sheriff works. I don't mind.
You've got to like that, don't you?
Yeah, they wouldn't give me a taser, though.
I said no body cam. I just wanted a taser, and they said no.
You can borrow mine.
Okay.
Oh, Brad, I could just see you with a taser.
He'd probably use it on himself first. I better take me out of this. Just kidding.
No, you're fine.
Yeah. Hey, thank you for coming, and thank you for doing what you do as well,
Fair Board Manager.
Because it's a mostly non-paid position, isn't it? For a lot of things.
It is a very paid position.
Yeah.
It's just not in the money.
Yeah.
Just getting to watch these young kids run around and enjoy the fair like I used to back.
Yeah.
45 years ago,
it's
got a warming spot in the heart.
Good.
And if you're not here to do that, you're on it for the wrong reason.
Yeah. How would you describe your fair and the people who come to it?
Down to earth, want to have a good time. I would say we have probably the best fair in the state of Montana. 90% of our area that we have our carnival and our vendors is all green grass. We're fresh that way. Everybody else is on 140 degree blacktop, and we're just down to earth people trying to have a good time.
I'm looking out here on a big patch of green. There's green all over, and I don't see dandelions. I don't see weeds all over this place. Good job.
I had nothing to do with that.
I doubt that's true.
As they say, Mother Nature has a good way of covering up bad management. And with the rain we've had lately, she's bailed us out.
Now, that's nice, right?
Yeah.
The safety plan, we talked with Sheriff Peterson about that a little bit. From your perspective, what was the process? Did it get shaped the way that you like? Is it going to address those problems from your seat that need to be addressed?
Yeah, we're headed in the right direction. It takes a long time to evolve. After every fair, the month after, we have a roundtable debriefing. And we invite the public, vendors, anybody that came to our fair or didn't come to give us insight on why they were here, why they weren't, what we need to do different. So that gives us a year to sit down and figure out where we need to go. Our biggest thing that we've seen in the last 5 to 6 years, the day of walking down the street and knowing 9 out of every 10, now you know 1 out of every 10. So a security is very huge in our end of it. It took 6 to 8 years, but we do have new security lighting in our grandstands. We got new security lighting in the parking lots. The commissioners got with us, and we got a DES coordinator now, and he is on site. He will be here probably in an hour or two, and they stay during the whole fair. And the commissioners have turned everything over to them when the DES says, hey, we got a storm, we're shutting you down. That it takes the pressure off of the board.
Yes.
We don't have to make the call for safety. They're getting information from their weather bureaus and stuff, and they know what's going on. So the call goes to them, and I commend them for being willing to step up and do that for us to help keep the community safe.
That's great, because they've got the experience and the training for that.
Yeah, they know what's coming, and they said, it takes a lot to shut it down 100%. They said we might have to put you into a 15-minute or half-hour holding pattern type thing.
I see.
But, yeah, it's a good thing.
It is. And they're on with the National Weather Service, the meteorologist. They work well together.
Go ahead.
And, like Brad said, it's been a work in progress because it takes money to put up lighting, and it takes time and a plan to get all this together, and we're still working on more stuff, but we're making headway.
Yeah, you got to pick a project and you kind of put more of them behind it, and you pick out the bigger ones that you need to evolve with. And we had some electrical stuff that we needed to take care of besides that, and
that's great.
So
yeah,
we're headed the right way.
The one thing, you know, when you talk about the expenses for that, where does it come from? Because your guys, it's free gate admission,
yes.
Free parking.
Yes.
You hear that? 406 fares out there. It's free gate and free parking here in Central Montana.
Yeah. If you want to go to like Billings or Great Falls, I think it's 10 or 15 bucks to park your car.
Yeah.
And then 10 bucks a person probably to get your family in the gate. So before you've even enjoyed any fair atmosphere, you've dropped 75 to 100 bucks.
How do
here, you come enjoy yourself. Yeah. You can come out, eat lunch, run back to work. come back that evening, mm-hmm. eat supper, and all it costs you is your food.
I love that idea, because yeah. I would do that more often if there wasn't
and
such
And that's what we found.
Yeah.
Alan Schammel has passed, but he was a board member, and he went out and really strived to get us a free gate, and he got that punched through, and mm-hmm. the commissioners helped back it, and mm-hmm. we just keep continuing with it.
Yeah, it's made a great difference, a big difference. And speaking of parking, and also the Central Montana Shuttle is doing free rides from noon to 1 a.m. at different locations, so you can go park at, like, the junior high. They'll pick you up, drop you off the gate, pick you up at the gate, take you back to your car. So you don't even have to deal with the parking issue, or you can hop on the people mover. They're on both ends of the grounds.
What attracts the people here? Is it the rodeo? You got the derby? Is it the fact that we just community, we want to get together?
It's community, we want to get together, and I would say probably one of the biggest things is the 4-H. Our 4-H, our fair is kind of, for the carnival end of it, is kicking off today, and then the rodeo is tonight and tomorrow, and the music and the Motor Madness Day, but the 4-H has been here for a little over a week already,
yeah.
and it's about the kids.
Yeah.
The kids got to have fun at their age now, or they don't come back later.
Yeah.
And
good.
I think we've changed and turned the corner, and I think we're headed the right way with them. We work with the 4-H all the time, trying to make a better picture for them.
Well, Brad, I know that it's taken a while kind of to get here, but it sounds like you've got the right heart and the right chutzpah to do what you're doing here. So thank you so much. I appreciate it. Where'd it come from?
My dad, he was a Shriner, and kids meant a lot.
Yeah, thank you.
But unfortunately, this is my last year.
What?
I term out.
You think?
Yeah.
We told them we're not voting on terms anymore.
That's it.
Yeah, they only allow you to have 2 4-year terms, and this is my last of the term. So after 8 years, it's time to get back to the family for myself.
Well, thank you for doing all that you did.
No problem.
Right, he's done
along.
A lot.
And there's...
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that say, hey, you did a good job, and there's others that sit back there and shake their head. And to those, come apply.
Yeah, that's right.
For a free job, I'd be happy to turn it over to someone that wants to do it.
Bring some solutions, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a standing joke. We tell everybody, don't come to the fair meeting the month before the fair and tell us what we need. The fair's already been done to decided.
Yep.
So come the week after, the month after, come to our meetings and give us a chance to evolve it into place.
Nice.
We don't want to turn anybody away. We want to accept what they're throwing out there. But when it doesn't happen, that last month and a half, don't get pissed because we didn't get to it.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Good stuff. Yeah. Brad Yeager again, fair board chair, at least for a little while longer
yep.
and maybe even a little while longer.
A month and a half is what I've got.
Yeah. Thanks again. I appreciate
no
it.
No problem.
Just wait. We're not voting on term limit.
I know you mentioned 4-H kids. Katie Auberry is with us here. And Heidi has got, we'll take a break, and Heidi has got some 4-H kids, and Katie lined up for that. So we couldn't, Brad, we couldn't do a fair without talking to some 4-H kids as well. So you got final comment on that? Put the headset back on?
Yeah, I'd just like everybody to come out to the Central Montana Fair in Lewistown, Montana. It's going to be a good one. The weather looks like it's going to cooperate. Got a little overcast, so we won't be into the triple digits today, but... Come enjoy it. We got a lot of new vendors, new food, a lot of free stuff for all the kids. We got music, magicians, whatever you need. Come enjoy it.
And grass.
Yes. And bring your sunshades because I heard something about a mirror man or something.
You might need your sunglasses, yes.
And something about Johnny Depp. I mean, we got all walks of life coming in today. So come enjoy the Central Montana Fair.
Thank you. Brad Yeager again, Fair Board Chair. All right, welcome back here. Tomorrow we're live in Conrad, Montana at Helena Egra Enterprises. That's open to the public as well. Ponderega Club. The golf club a bit later on for the social for the farmers continues tomorrow. Cindy Johnson will join us from the Montana Farm Bureau Federation. We'll also have Jillian Street, Ag Director for the state of Montana, tomorrow on the program. Got a few minutes here. Heidi Weber still with the KXLO and a quick little 4-H hit here. Let's start with Bentley. Bentley, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. Yeah, he knows how to work a mic. What's your project here this year?
This year I'm doing a cactus. It has about 25 horseshoes on it, and then it has a green base plate. You can put it anywhere. I made it mostly for in the garden, but it'll have horseshoe nails for spikes, still sharp, so they have bouncy balls on them. So
nice.
You get some free bouncy balls.
What did you learn doing this project?
I learned how to properly weld and how to manage the heat when you're welding.
Nice. You're a welder already?
Yes.
Bentley, what's your last name? There are people out there who want to hire you.
Oberfell.
Oberfell, okay. Thank you for coming on. I appreciate that. All right, Knox, what's your last name?
Arnston.
Arnston, yes. And what's your project this year?
I did an indoor mini basketball hoop, wooden.
Yeah? And why did you do that?
I did it because I have one in my house, and I thought other kids like me would want to do it.
Nice. What did you learn doing this project?
That how to do all the measurements correctly.
Yeah? And you got them all right? Now, so what are you going to do with this now? You're going to try to put up some hoops somewhere? Or?
I'm going to sell it in the auction.
There you go. Yeah, it's not a bad deal.
When's the auction? Let people know when the auction is.
It's Thursday, July 23rd at 3:30.
Good job. Heidi didn't even know that. That's why she asked you that question. Good job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have fun?
Yeah.
I'm glad you did. And Briella, what's your good morning, ma'am. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hanging in there. What's your last name?
Arnston.
Are you Knox's older sister?
No, cousin.
Cousin. Okay. Very cool. What's your project this year?
I'm selling a homemade breakfast basket.
Oh, really? I can see it right here. Did you make those things?
Yes.
You made the jam?
I made syrups, butter, muffins, pancake mix, all sorts of stuff.
And it's called Bree's Breakfast Cookbook.
Yes, I have a cookbook, too.
Nice. Good work. What did you learn this year?
That food, some baking stuff is very hard to make right. Does not always work out.
But you can turn the oven off and back on again and try it again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very cool. What would you say to people who want to be part of 4-H but haven't been yet?
That they should definitely try it. It has taught me so much.
Yeah, that's very
cool. I've made so many more friends during it.
Nice. Well, thank you guys for coming on and being on the statewide show today, and appreciate that. Anything else you want to add there, Bentley?
I don't have anything right now.
That's good. That's honesty, right? Yeah. Good job, Knox. Right there. And Bree. Thank you. We're going to have a few minutes here with Katie Aubery. Katie, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Ah, hanging in there. It's actually been a lot of fun, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Derby, okay? Give us the what's going on in the Derby and how mean does it get out there, so to speak?
It depends on the time of year, or not the time of year, obviously. It depends on who shows up. Mm-hmm. We actually have a pretty good show. I feel like last year went really well. It was my first year of running it 100% by myself. I've been helping with it for probably the last 8 years. A lot of behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
And last year for my first one, I felt like it went really well. And I had people loved it, said they'd come back. Sounds like this year I'm going to have that happen.
How many cars out there?
I don't know yet for this year. Last year we had about 37, but we don't do any kind of pre-register. It's hard to do that. People wait until the last minute to build cars.
Oh, really?
Build cars and then aren't able to show up for whatever reason. So it's one of those I don't know until check-in starts. But it sounds like I'll have a pretty good car count. We've got some guys up in Winifred that have 9-plus cars and some guys here that have 7-plus cars just for the one or two people. So,
oh, cool.
I'm hoping it'll be really good this year again.
Are there some favorites out there?
Of course. Everybody's got favorites.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I am impartial. but, yeah, everybody's got favorites,
of course. Come on. You're not so impartial.
Oh, I am.
Who are you?
I mean, when my husband ran, of course,
okay,
he was my favorite.
Go.
But yeah. He doesn't do it anymore, so. Yeah.
I got like 30 seconds, but what makes a Derby driver?
Ambition. A little bit of brute. I mean, you have to have the need, the drive to just want to go out and wreck cars and win money. So
it's either really good driving skills or really bad driving skills.
Yes.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, a combination of both, I think.
Katie, thanks for what you do. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you.
Heidi, I'll be hanging out with you today,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, so tune back in at 1 o'clock, and we'll bring to you some more 4-H kiddos, some fair entertainment. We got some businesses, interviews, and all that. So we'll be back at 1.
Beautiful. See you then. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.